From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Lydon. More often than not, over the past 21 months, our program has included news of the war in Iraq. We, like our colleagues in print and television, try to present a full picture of what's happening. But there's inevitably a gap between what soldiers, civilians, and journalists see on the ground and what they can convey back home. This is particularly true of television broadcasts, where taste and discretion limit full descriptions of carnage, and where military access and safety concerns determine what gets reported. To get a sense of the limitations of war coverage, we turn to reporters on two conflicts, Vietnam and Iraq. We begin with Stanley Karnow, a print reporter in Vietnam who later made a PBS series called Vietnam, A Television History. I asked him to remind us what images were coming into our living rooms during the Vietnam War.
The helicopters are hovering over the place where they're going. They land, the American soldiers jump out, and they start shooting across a rice field towards a tree line, and that's where their enemy is, in the tree line. Then it all becomes very blurred because you're not actually seeing the Viet Cong or the North Vietnamese coming out of the tree line, because that's not what they did. And then you begin to see the scenes of the American casualties being put onto medical helicopters and evacuated to hospitals. That's what the public began to see nightly.
The American public felt intimately connected by the end of the war to the images it was seeing from Vietnam and the things it was reading. What was so disturbing?
Really, even though it was a tremendously covered war, in retrospect, there are only really three or four images that remain. Dramatically, the famous picture of the South Vietnamese Colonel Wong shooting the Viet Cong suspect during the Tet Offensive in 1968. The picture of the little girl running down the street, napalmed. The picture of the people getting on the roof of the American embassy building to be helicoptered out. In retrospect, a lot of people go back today, a lot of this post-mortem quarterbacking about Vietnam is, oh, we could have won the war if the news media had not been there giving us negative images, which I think is a lot of baloney. I don't think in the end that the news media, either television or the print media, had as much to do with shaping American opinion as a lot of people think it did. I think there were much other factors more important. Most of all, the support for the war declined because it was going on endlessly and there was no end in sight. And people began to get this feeling that, you know, the leadership is lying to you when they're telling you that we see the light at the end of the tunnel, the war's about to be over, we're winning, and all those things, and it goes on and on and on.
To some degree, he admits, war coverage is held hostage to either safety or sentiment. Tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians have died. Only a fraction of those deaths have been reported. Karnow says that something similar was at work in Vietnam.
There's kind of a nationalistic quality about wars. To this day, when we look back on Vietnam, everybody talks to me about the 60,000 Americans who were killed. I said, hey, wait a second. You know, there was something like 3 million Vietnamese killed, too, on both sides, including civilians. Vietnamese who were killed in Vietnam tend to be forgotten by the American public. The Iraqis are kind of like spear carriers in the opera. I mean, the main players are the Americans, and that's what the public is paying attention to. It's almost like television coverage of the Olympics. All we cover is our own teams. We don't cover the teams of the other countries.
And, of course, access is all. In Vietnam, journalists were not targets, and they were not embedded with the military.
When we were in Vietnam, where there were no holds barred, there was no censorship, we could go anywhere we wanted. If you wanted to go into action, you would just go down to the black market in Saigon and buy yourself a helmet and a uniform and a pair of boots. Go out to the airport, you see a helicopter that's going off somewhere, you say, can I come along? And they say, fine, and you go.
Iraq is a completely different war for journalists, and it's different now than it was at the beginning. CNN's Nick Robertson has covered many wars.
The real change this year, and I was working on a documentary early in the year when we were still traveling around the country, meeting with Iraqis, spending time with them, taking part in their daily lives. Everything they did, we followed along. Now, at the end of this year, it is so much harder to have that same interaction with the Iraqi people. Yet, through the embed process, now we can get a very good degree of access with the troops who are stationed in Iraq.
At the end of the day, of work in Iraq. What do you feel you've been able to get on television? And what have you been unable to get?
I think the frustrations often on both sides are difficult to get across. The anxiety and fear that troops feel that on the one hand, every time they leave the base, they're going to be killed. On the other hand, they fear as much that they're going to pull the trigger and kill somebody who isn't trying to kill them, who's an innocent bystander. How do you catch that on tape? It's people's innermost feelings and innermost thoughts. How do you catch the real fear of an Iraqi driver on a road when he sees a striker vehicle traveling in front of him and he immediately jams on the brake because he doesn't want to get too close, because he doesn't want to be shot by mistake for getting too close because the troops are worried about the potential for suicide bombers? How do you communicate that? How do you get people's real deep fears across, which really begin to tell the story?
Have you ever felt frustrated that you weren't able to get some of the visceral imagery of war onto television? There is so much that we see as correspondents that isn't deemed appropriate for listeners or viewers.
When we turn up after some action and there are some dead bodies lying around, I'm very aware that when we shoot those bodies that we need to shoot it in a way that people can watch it on television. There is a natural revulsion for death, and some of what we see is very gruesome and horrifying. Am I frustrated we can't put that on? I think that if many people had seen what many soldiers through the many wars over the many centuries have seen, they perhaps would not be quite so keen to see their country go to war. Do I really think that by us putting on one particular horrifying image, it's going to change people's view of the war? I don't think so. But I think, you know, if you talk to troops, they find it hard to discuss with people who haven't been to war what they've seen. And I think it's, to a degree, it's the same for journalists. It's very hard to explain some of the really gruesome images that you've seen, not just in Iraq, in Bosnia, or wherever else. Perhaps images that may appear in a journalist's photo album, but wouldn't appear on a broadcast evening news.
Nick Robertson is the senior international correspondent for CNN. He spoke with us from London.